And Detective Eric Edson joins us here in studio from the Sheboygan Police Department. Eric, how are you?
I'm great. Long time no see.
Been a while. But good to have you back. If you're a regular listener, you know, he joins us usually a couple times a month and always gets us the latest information on scams and fraud that's actually impacting our immediate area. And we've got a lot to hit this
morning. Never a shortage of topics, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. So these QR codes, I don't know how many people know what they are, but that's where we want to start off. So why don't you explain what this all is about, Eric?
Yeah, so anyone that watched the Super Bowl this year might have seen the ad that Coinbase put out. All it was 30 seconds of this QR code bouncing around the screen. If you've gone to a restaurant lately, especially during the pandemic, you probably have seen the QR codes on the table or on a little tent on the table that you can pull up the restaurant's menu. They're all over the place. And typically, they offer a lot of convenience and allow people to do things without having to handle things when people are concerned about COVID and things like that. It's a very convenient way to access information. However, like with a lot of things with technology, scammers and criminals have found ways to exploit shortcomings in that technology. So one thing that people should know is you don't really have to be concerned if you scan a QR code that's like a scammer one or a malicious QR code. You probably aren't going to download any malicious software to your phone. However, you could be redirected to a website that looks legitimate, and they're going to try to collect your personal information, your financial information, and that's where people run into trouble. For example, earlier this year down in San Antonio and Austin, Texas, some criminals had put stickers on a lot of the parking meters downtown with QR codes, trying to encourage people to pay for their parking using these QR codes. And obviously they weren't legitimate, so people would scan it, enter their credit card information to pay for their parking, and then the scammers would have that information and can defraud them. So there's just a couple things that people should really consider before just blindly scanning a QR code. First thing is avoid scanning QR codes in public places. So if you are walking down the street, like these parking meters or on the side of a building, that when they look like they're kind of out of place. And also kind of scrutinize it. Does it look like it's part of the menu, part of the item that you're sitting at or whatever, or is it like a sticker that was put on there after the fact? Those are usually put there by the scammers.
It's good to know.
Look at where it sends you. Like, does the website look legitimate? Is it asking for personal information that they probably don't need to have? Like, if you're scanning the menu, are they asking for your credit card information right away? That should be a tip off. Look out for QR codes that come in junk mail. A lot of times these scammers will send a QR code in a junk mail, like a regular paper mail. Or if you get an email with a QR code, ask yourself, why do I need to use my phone to scan a QR code when I'm already on my computer or on my iPad where I could just visit a website? And then at the end, don't download any apps that you encounter from scanning a QR code. Go right to like the Android's Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store to download apps from. Don't do it through a QR code.
Good advice. So, the parking meter thing just blows me away.
It'd be so easy when you think about it, how prevalent, and people are so used to QR codes now that they don't think twice about scanning it. And especially if you see it on a public utility like that, you think, well, it's got to be legitimate.
Right.
And they scammed. It was thousands of people that had entered their credit card information to pay for what they thought was to pay for parking. And like I said, you see them in restaurants all the time. You see them in stores. They pop up everywhere. For convenience, you know, it's great to be able to just scan that and then you go to the website directly, but you really have to scrutinize when you go to that website. You know, double check the URL. Does it look legitimate? Are there grammatical spelling errors on the website? Just all those things we've talked about before to try to spot the scam, because a lot of the scammers are lazy. They don't spend a lot of time putting it together. So just be really conscious of that it's not really a threat to download malware, but it is a phishing. It's just a version of a phishing scam where people are trying to have some sense of urgency or convenience to get your personal information that they can do bad things with.
All right. Some phishing scam updates, too, you have for
us.
Yeah,
these are always just a never-ending thing, and we just want to keep people aware of what kind of the latest ones are that are out there. And these two are very prevalent now. One is an Amazon pretext where you might get a text message or an email saying that there's an issue with an order that you placed. You might get a shipping invoice, and it's for something that you didn't obviously order. And they're going to say there's a problem with it. It's usually a high-ticket item, which costs a lot of money. So there's a sense of urgency there to get you to respond to that. The other one is just I think we talked about this the last time I was here. I got one from Verizon, but there's all kinds of different companies. Sometimes they don't even mention a company where they say, thanks for paying your bill. Here's a free gift. And then there's a link there. Both of them are designed to get you to click the link.
Yep.
I found a couple of statistics that I thought were interesting. According to the FTC, Amazon scams have increased by 500% in the last year.
Ooh.
And last month, there were over 11.6 billion, with a B, scam text messages sent over American wireless networks. So these scams are everywhere. People can go on the no-call list, things like that, but it's probably not going to prevent you from getting these text messages. So a couple things to look for so you don't fall victim to these scam text messages. Usually, the scam text messages come from a normal 10-digit phone number. The scammers will get like a Google Voice number or some other thing like that and use that.
Okay.
To send the text messages. Legitimate commercial text messages like this come from either a 4, 5, or 6-digit number. A lot of people have seen it where it's like three numbers followed by a hyphen and then three more numbers. That's not a guarantee, but it kind of adds some legitimacy to it. Fraudulent messages often contained misspelled words or grammatical errors. We've talked about that a lot before.
Yep.
And be wary of tactics that imply like a sense of urgency or you got to act immediately. If you have any questions, you should go directly to that organization's website. If it's Amazon, go directly to Amazon's website that you know. Log into your account, see if there's an issue. If it's your cell phone carrier or something like that, go directly to the app or to the website and check to see if there's any issues. Don't reply to these text messages. A lot of times people think, well, I'll just reply like stop or no or something like that. That's not going to cancel it. All that's going to do is verify to the scammer that you've got an active phone number. So just delete the message. And if you do fall victim to it, let's make sure that you go on the website and change your passwords for that account. Consider a credit freeze, things like that. Because once you've given that information, you know, it's out there. And, you know, the best thing you can do is change your passwords right away. Maybe consider two-factor authentication if they offer that on the website. But just be really wary of that because these messages, like I said, 12 billion in the last month, they're everywhere. People get them all the time. And the best policy is just to delete it.
Yep.
You know, you're not gonna win a free TV or you know
no.
anything like that either. So.
Nobody's delivering a trailer full of money to your house.
No,
sorry,
probably not.
I get the Amazon one quite a bit. Not as a text. I get it as an email.
Okay.
And I'm so used to just deleting it that it's like, you know, I don't even think about it anymore. But it's not always from Amazon. It might say from eBay or something like that that your order isn't. There's a problem with your order or with your account. And I know I don't have accounts with these people, so it's I just know it's a scam.
Right.
And I just delete.
But so many people do, and that's why it works.
Yeah.
And if you take a couple seconds, you can, especially if it's an email, if you hover your mouse or highlight the email address that it came from,
yep.
If it's anything other than something@amazon.com,
sure.
It's going to be a scam. Mm-hmm. So many of these scammers use all kinds of different providers for emails, and Amazon is not going to send you something from some one-off kind of an email address. It's going to be from amazon.com. And even if it looks similar to that, scrutinize it. Is there a period someplace where, you know, they make it look like, or is there a spelling error? Did they use a zero instead of the O for Amazon? There's all kinds of different things they can do to manipulate it to make it look real. Just take a second to scrutinize it. And if in doubt, just don't click on it and go right to the website.
Good advice. And you have something on Western Union. What's this about?
Yeah, so in the early to mid-2000s, a lot of people were falling victim to scams where they would be tricked into wiring money using Western Union to scammers. There are all kinds of variations of this scam, but the bottom line was a lot of people lost money by wiring money to these scammers. And once you wire money, it's like cash. You really can't get it back. So there was a lawsuit that Western Union didn't do enough to prevent this from happening. And there was, I think it was like $580 million that were set aside for victims of this scam. So I just want to remind people that if you were the victim of a scam that involved Western Union and you lost money, you are eligible to request compensation from this fund. And you have until July 1st of this year to do that. After July 1st this year, you can't do it anymore. That's the deadline. So if you want information about it, if you visit the Federal Trade Commission's website at ftc.gov/WU for Western Union. Again, ftc.gov/WU. We'll have a link on our website in a little bit for that too. But if you were the victim of that and you want to seek compensation, there's a form to fill out, some information that they need, but that is available for people that did fall victim to that scam.
All right. We squeezed it all in, Eric.
We did.
Thanks for coming in this morning. Lots of good stuff as usual.
You bet.
We'll see you in the month of May.
Sounds good. Yeah, hopefully it'll be a little bit warmer.
That would be good. That would be good. All right, good to see you.
You too.